Welcome back to podcast number 5. Five in the bag. Look at us. I love it.
We've done great.
We did great. Number 4 caused a little bit of technical difficulties. So if you made it through podcast 4 with us, we way to go, way to make it. We learned some lessons.
Yes.
Last podcast, it was our first guest. But hey, we're excited about number 5. We're excited about the show tonight and what we got to talk about. So we are on podcast number 5, and this weekend's exciting because we did a giveaway from last podcast. So so we get to award our giveaway this show, and we are taking some friends to the SaberCats game versus the New England Free Jacks this weekend. So Anna, tell us what taking new people who are not familiar with rugby, what did you think would be a good thing to do this podcast since we have these opportunities coming up this weekend?
Well, I thought it would be good if we talked tonight about the top terms, rugby terms, words that you will hear every match that you attend, watch, whatever. And what they mean, so that maybe you're a little bit more prepared, a little bit more in the know about what's going on. Because when you and I went to our first match, we didn't know anything. We knew zero.
We didn't know anything.
And I remember thinking, what is happening?
What is even going on?
Yes. And now, I mean, we know a little bit.
Yeah. And actually, it was kind of fun when you brought this up because I learned a whole lot more. Mm-hmm. And I really found that, I guess it talks to how I learn. So I did a lot better having watched a whole lot of rugby and then went and plugged in the terms that we've been hearing all this time. It made a whole lot more sense to me. But I had so much fun getting ready for this podcast and preparing for it. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited to hear what you think is most important for new people to hear. And then, versus what I got. So what would you tell your newbie? What's the first term you would tell him to help him understand the game better that night?
Okay, so the term I feel like that I hear the most of and that I came away from that first match Googling what is this is scrum.
Okay.
And we got to talk about that with Bonnie last week. But a scrum, and I feel like if you even have ever seen a picture of a rugby match or anything, you're going to see this. This is when everybody kind of looks like they're in a big wad and they're just pushing at each other. But it is the scrum. In the Houston SaberCats game, the announcer always says, it's time to scrum down.
Time to scrum down.
And I don't know that I've heard that in any of the international games.
I don't feel like they're that fun.
No,
on the international stage.
They are not.
Nope.
But a scrum happens when you are restarting the play of the game after, this is very European, I feel like, after a stoppage of the game.
Ooh.
Yes. So, for example, we'll talk about some of these other terms, I'm sure, but when there's a knock on, a forward pass, the ball becomes unplayable, the official will stop the play and they will scrum down. So you'll see the scrum half delivering the ball into the scrum. A scrum half is the number 9 of the team. They put the ball in to, I read the tunnel. Did you read that? They put it into, that's what they call the tunnel.
Yes, I think, yes.
So they put them in there, and then the hooker can hook the ball with their leg, taking it to the back of the scrum where they can then play. And Kelly, tell us who makes up the scrum?
So the scrum are your props and your loose prop, your center. And so that's like your ones and your twos, and your threes.
So in 15s, it's the forwards.
Yes.
The 1 through 8.
1 through 8.
They make up the scrum.
Yes. And then I learned too that if you're on the outside of the scrum, you're the loose prop.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're in the center, you're not.
The loose prop, the hooker, and the tight head prop.
Right.
What names?
I know. I mean, we'll have to investigate that. Like, how did we come up with those names?
Yeah.
Well done. All right. So scrum. Yeah, that's a huge one. Our new folks will hear Saturday night at the game. So one of the ones that really got me when we were first watching rugby is they will, when a penalty occurs, the ref will say advantage to the team that the penalty was awarded to.
Yes.
So instead of saying, like in football, if the Chiefs committed a penalty, they'd say a penalty on the Chiefs. And you're like, oh, okay, yeah, they did something wrong. Well, when you're watching the game, the ref will say advantage to the team that the penalty was against. So it got a little, I was confused because in my football mind, I'm thinking, oh, well, they committed the penalty, but no, they are going to gain the advantage of the penalty. Yes. So that was one of the ones I remember when we were first watching it, like, oh.
It's a little backwards.
Yes.
You have to think backwards to what you normally think.
And it may have just been harder for me to hear that than everyone else, but
I think that's good. I wrote that down too.
Yeah. So that's one. What else you got?
Okay, we've got a knock-on. I feel like you hear that a lot. Yep. A knock-on is when a player loses possession of the ball. It might be that the ball goes forward off of the hands or arms of a player, hits the ground. But it's sort of, I mean, not really, but it's kind of like a fumble, I guess, a little bit. But sometimes the ball's still playable if they drop it. Just depends. Yeah. But a knock-on, that's when it happens. They lose possession of it, and it's not playable anymore. And so they have to usually results in a scrum.
And knock-on definitely makes forward movement. So if it goes forward, bad news. Mm-hmm. Bad news if it goes forward. So weird. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So another one that I just put together was the touch line.
Yes.
The ball is in touch.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your first thought when you heard the ball is in touch?
I mean, I was always thinking that means they have it or somebody's touching it.
Touching the ball.
Yeah.
Let's play. No, how... How practical, how common sense of you to even think that. No, so in rugby, when the ball is in touch, it's out of bounds. Mm-hmm. In the touch line, the ball is at the touch line. It's out of bounds. So that one took me, I mean, I still don't hear that right. I feel like that's what speaking a second language is like. You hear the word and then you got to translate it to what it really means. Touchline is like that for me because it just seems so backwards to what we're used to hearing. So that one's really helpful too. And so the line that outlines the rugby pitch is the touchline, the out of bounds line. So yeah, that
one. Not us,
but we do now.
The next one is the namesake of our podcast, a ruck. And a ruck is when you're going to see this all the time happening, is when the ball is on the ground, two of the opposing players meet over the ball. And a lot of times what you see when someone has been tackled, they have to release the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you hear our polite officials saying, use it, please. Which I thought was just kind of like encouragement, but it's actually a rule. They have to release it and then play it. Within 5 seconds, I think mm-hmm. it is, mm-hmm. but you will see them, the other team, the opposing team having tackled and then over them, but then you will see the team with the ball passing it to behind them, mm-hmm. to the leg or ankle of the person so they can get it yeah. and then pass it. I'm acting it out like I...
Good. Oh, we can totally tell. Yes. Yeah. Exactly so. What you're doing there. Yes.
That is what a ruck is. What the ruck.
That's what the ruck. But so you did bring out just the phrase use it. So that mm-hmm. is another, right? Like you said, you hear it all the time. And that is an actual command.
Yes.
So when you have the ruck, the purpose is to keep the game moving. We can't just settle here and do what we want. So the ref does put kind of like a time limit, or if you want to translate it into American sports terms, we got a shot clock on it. So he when he says use it, the shot clock starts and you do have 5 seconds to get the ball back into play, back into movement. So so funny. It's the nicest way ever to say, hey, get the game going. Use it, yes. please.
Use yeah. it, please. Use and it. Something else that I think is cool is you can tell it's a lot different than football in this way. When they, you know, you make a tackle, then the play is over and you set up and do it, you know, go for another one. But in rugby, they get tackled, they're in a ruck, they're passing the ball to be able to play again. But the people that are tackled, they kind of just like pause for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody kind of gets back up mm-hmm. and gets going. So.
Yes. And following up with the use it and what we're describing right now in the game. So when a penalty occurs, so this was another thing I struggled with. When a penalty occurs, you'll hear, if you're listening to it on a radio or watching it on TV, you'll know that there was an advantage given to a team and the ref will say play the advantage. And so when the penalty occurs, play keeps going in the chance that there might be a result of the play. So if they scored or something like that would happen, then that would be the result of the play. Now, if the play gets stopped, the ref will call back and we will do whatever the consequences are for the penalty. So that also got me when I was watching it, because again, comparing it to American football, when the penalty occurs, play stops, the consequences are given. We got 15 yards. We got whatever. And we just go from there. Rugby lets the play unfold to see what might have happened. And then they can bring it. The ref can bring it back if they want.
Yeah. And I feel like just like any other sport that we watch, you know, I think of in basketball or in football, the game does kind of depend on the officials. Mm-hmm. Some officials are just prone to calling certain things, I feel like, you know. I feel like rugby is like that too. If you know, it depends on the official. We see that in the World Cup, in the Six Nations. You know, there's some officials that don't let the game go as long as mm-hmm. some of the others do. Mm-hmm. They make more stops and anyway, so.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah, okay. Whatever the referee is picky about. Everybody knows. And that's the way we're going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it sounds like a lot
of times in a scrum too, You'll see those officials get, this is if you're watching a game and you can hear them all mic'd up, you'll see them kind of reprimand the captains of the team. Hey, you know, I've told you three times, the scrum has fallen three times. Please do not let that happen again. Yeah.
Or you've been called for a penalty in this area, this part of the field, this part of the pitch. And so stop. You need to tell your people to stop.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And that's how they respond. Yes, sir. We will.
Yes, they do. Exactly. They do.
I mean, I don't know what they're thinking in their head, but that's the words that come out of their mouth.
Yeah.
Another one that is just to help you figure out how play is happening is offloading. So offloading is just a pass. Mm-hmm. You're passing it. You're offloading it. I think that's kind of more fun to say than passing. Yeah, so,
I think so too.
Yeah. So any pass that a player makes, they just offloaded it. Mm-hmm. They're probably about to get smashed, tackled. So they offload it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think it's so cool they do it without even looking. Like they know, like they're anticipating the person's just there. Yeah.
It's like they just drop the ball and then that person's there to grab it. It's that's fun to watch.
Yeah. There was 2 weekends ago. It wasn't this weekend, I don't think. I should have written this down. It was the Dallas Jackals, whoever they were playing. They had the greatest offload.
Yeah.
Where you couldn't even see it. Like it was like a, oh my gosh, he has the ball. Oh no, he does. Like,
how did he get it? Field.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It is so cool. And how fun it must feel to complete that. Like,
yes.
Offloaded it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
Okay. Another word that I feel like you're going to hear a lot. And this is something that is really intriguing to me. And if we ever, not if, but when we get to interview a player, like I have some questions about this. It is a maul.
Yeah.
This is when a player is held up, not tackled, but held up by an opposing player and a teammate. So basically, it's exactly what it's called. A maul is they're all kind of in a wad, but this person is up. They're being held up while everybody else is down.
The ball is not on the ground. So like you said, they're upright. And when I was looking into this one, there has to be at least 3 players to qualify for a maul. So that can be like the guy with the ball and 2 offensive or defensive, however it's made up. But yeah. So yeah, just pushing upright. Yeah. A scrum or a ruck, but it's all vertical.
And what's intriguing to me is there's this guy that's like, everybody is kind of like at his hips and he's just like up.
And holding a ball.
I just want to know, like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, what are you doing with your legs?
And also, like, what's the strategy happening? You know?
Yeah, and I feel like when I've seen mauls, they only happen when we're close to the conversion line.
Yes.
So there's some sort of strategy there. You don't see them in the middle of the pitch. You don't see them it's within a certain meters coming up to it that they use mauls as a tactic. But I guess it comes down to who's the strongest and who can push the furthest with that. So yeah, I think those are kind of fun though.
Yeah, for sure.
And there's like yelling. Those get pretty intense, yelling and pushing. And the guy in the middle is just kind of like to the left.
Yeah. I mean,
the right.
Guys, like he's just kind of just being thrown about while they're just down there doing their thing.
I agree. That's a fun one. All right. So another one that I want to say that I haven't exactly figured out. And I think the reason I would like to think the reason I haven't figured it out yet is like how you spoke to how a referee calls a game. So there's inconsistencies in how this is called. But offsides.
Okay.
So, I mean, offsides is offsides like it is in every other sport. It does result in a penalty. But from what I gather is it happens either in a ruck, a scrum, or a line out, or a maul. And when you look at when you look it up, like how the rule book defines it, it's when a player crosses an imaginary line before the set piece is completed. So before the play is completed, a player steps over this imaginary line, which I guess we're not there yet to know where the imaginary lines are.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, this is probably going to be wrong. So anybody that knows more than me, yes, which is everyone.
This is a question mark. When I'm like, I don't understand.
I feel like when I can see it most is in a ruck. I feel like it's easier to see because people are more spread out. There's not as many people. And I feel like the ball is the line.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's right. You see them tackling. Mm-hmm. And they're over the ball. But then when they release it is kind of when that person that was tackling kind of goes like, just stops.
And I feel too like I don't ever feel like there's clarity in who committed the offsides.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll call offsides and I'm like, well, who was it? Who crossed the imaginary line?
Yes. Because in football, it's easier to see because it's just if you moved before the ball was hiked, then it's offsides. But this is a little bit more iffy.
And maybe I'm making it too complicated. I don't know. But I our people that come with us this weekend, I am not going to be good help with offsides. I want to apologize for that right now. I'll be learning right. Maybe they'll be able to teach me what, or maybe you can. Maybe now we know,
okay, we're really going to pay attention.
Yeah, we're going to figure this one out.
Yeah.
We can do this one. All right, cool. Yeah.
Okay, the next one that you hear all the time is a line out.
Yes.
And I really actually liked reading about this because I feel like a line out is kind of self-explanatory once you're watching the game. Mm-hmm. But reading about it, there are obviously, Anna, there are some more strategic moves happening. So there's a max of 7 people and a minimum of 3.
Oh, I know that. Okay.
They line up parallel. So the two opponents, they're lining up parallel. The hooker is the one that throws in the ball. And the ball is thrown straight down the middle, which I think is why they sometimes have to redo it. Mm-hmm. They don't throw it straight. Mm-hmm. And then the jumpers are the guys that they lift up. They're lifted up by their teammates. They have to be lifted below the waist, which is why you will see taped legs with these little handle-like things in there. And they lift them up to either catch the ball or sometimes you see them knock it back to their team. So,
and another, okay, so I don't know if I'm helping in this podcast or making it more confusing because
you're helping.
I've seen a couple line outs where instead of throwing it, they like toss it to one of their players as they run by and they take off going. To me, like that, I would do that all the, like every third line out would be a trick play. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that one's a trick play, but they don't use it very often.
Yeah. And do you know a lot about basketball way more than I do. I know very little, but the line out reminds me of basketball.
Okay.
Like when you're throwing a ball line up and, you know, they throw the ball in and, I mean, we're not hoisting people up. That would be kind of cool in basketball to do that.
Yeah. And like dunk it.
Yes.
We'll have to see.
That would be kind of cool.
Who do we need to email about that?
Yes. But it does remind me of that.
when they can see it. That. And actually, to me, I always think of soccer when they're throwing it in. But mm-hmm. but basketball does have the formation, and you're running a set play to get this ball mm-hmm. in bounds. I see that.
And I'm also going to say, again, the experts that I'm sure listen to.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell me if I'm wrong, but when we went to the opening game of the Six Nations this in February, I felt like, I mean, France had a lot of problems
mm-hmm.
during that game, but I felt like they were trying some kind of new strategy with the lineouts because their lineouts were really bad.
So bad. And that's another confusing part to it, because to me, like a line out, if you're in practice, you're constantly practicing that. Like it's not a spur of the moment play. It's not something that you have to create in the moment. Like you literally have time to stand. Everybody gets in line. Mm-hmm. You have a moment to talk strategy with your team. Like you'll see Ireland do that all the time. What's his name? Will come over and tell the guy throwing in the ball. I'm assuming he's saying something like, Blue 42. And then they go line up and they do their line out. So yeah, I don't know. Like some teams, I was watching Miami this last weekend. They had a rough game and their line outs were horrible. So it's just really interesting because and we're getting down on a little bit of a hole right now, but there's no defense distracting mm-hmm. this line out. So it's not like, I don't know.
I think you will see sometimes, which is what we saw in France, there's like a fake, like they pretend like they're going to hold the guy up and then they switch places. Yeah. I don't know, but
trickery.
Whatever it was, Fabian, it didn't work.
Yeah, Fabian, call us. We saw problems.
We've got some pointers for you.
We didn't have those problems in the World Cup, so no. What happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't go down that road either. Okay, hey, we have a couple more that we really do need to cover.
Yes.
One of the most simple ones is when you score, it's called a try.
Yes.
So your try is worth 5 points, is what it is. Now, after you score a try, you are awarded to kick what we would think in football like a field goal, but mm-hmm. it is called a conversion. So you kick the conversion and you receive 2 points if you make it between the uprights. And the other thing that when we were in Utah and went to see the USA Eagles play, I remember asking the guy in front of me, when they score, when they're kicking a conversion, how do you, like, why are they always moving where they're kicking it from? And that guy didn't actually know because he didn't answer my question. But what I learned is when you score a try, the ball has to touch the ground. So also different from football, crossing the what do they call that? Crossing the line, crossing the end zone is the touchdown. But in rugby, it actually has to touch the ground. And so where it touches the ground, you is where parallel to where you kick it for the conversion. So that's why you'll see some guys who and so many of your tries are scored on the corners, and that's why they're kicking way over the corners. Which I have another question to that is, like, if you do have a wide open try that you're scoring, why aren't you putting it right in the middle for the easy kick? So anyways, that's
learned something brand new
just now.
Yes, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I knew you know about the ball having to touch the ground and all that, but I did not know that from where about the kicking, the placement of the kick.
They describe it as a spot perpendicular to the spot where the try was awarded.
Oh my gosh, that makes so much sense now,
doesn't it? Doesn't it make so much sense?
And also, there are two kinds of kicks while we're at it.
Yes, there are.
There's a place kick and a drop kick.
Yep.
A place kick is just what it sounds like and what you see most of the time on a conversion point, or when they kick for any type of points, really, is they have a little stand, kind of like a football tee, but it's for the ball, and they put it, they place it there. That's a place kick. A drop kick is just what it sounds like, where they
drop it and kick it. It has to hit the ground. That's the other thing about rugby kicks is most of them, other than the first kick you described, all the other kicks have to hit the ground before they kick them. So pretty interesting. Okay, so and then real quick, sin bin.
Yes, the sin bin to me is the funniest word.
Yeah, and I think we need more sin bins in the world. Like, I would like to put together a sin bin at my office.
I mean, I need to put myself in the sin bin sometimes.
Oh, snap. No. Sin bin at your house? Yeah. So, you know what? You're in the sin bin for the next 10 minutes.
Yeah. The sin bin is basically timeout.
Yeah.
It is where a player will get a yellow card for an offense that the official deems, you know, a tackle that wasn't legal. Usually that's what you see, a high tackle, something that wasn't safe. They get a yellow card. They get sent to the sin bin, which is where they sit alone for 10 minutes.
In a chair. They may get some water. Depends on how nice people are feeling. But
they have to sit there and they have to think about what they did.
And so similar to soccer, when you get, I think soccer's actually have sin bins as well. So you get pulled out when you get a card, you got to go hang out for timeout, and then you get to come back in the game, and play. So sin bin's fun, but also the other one we learned, the blood bin. That sounds exciting. So this one's a little tricky though. So your blood bin, if you're bleeding, which I would love to know what's the line that sends you to the blood bin?
Yes, because a lot of times you're going to see people getting doctored up, taped up right there on the field
on the pitch. And most of the time you see people just like blood's everywhere and no one's doing anything about it. So yeah, I'm curious as to what gets you sent to the blood bin, but the trick is with the blood bin. So, okay. So one thing in rugby, there are no, or once your substitute goes in, that person that comes out cannot re-enter the game. They're done. So with the blood bin, you only have 15 minutes to fix whatever issue has sent you there. And so a sub gets to come in for you while you're out for that 15 minutes and you can return to the game. If you make it within that time. So,
That's right. And correct me if I'm wrong, but in the sin bin, nobody replaces you.
No. Yeah. You're a player down.
Yeah. You're just a player down for 10 minutes.
Yep. So you go to 14, when there should be 15, which I want to say, okay, you know, hockey, I guess soccer too. So hockey has a sin bin too. And, I can't say that I noticed the loss of a player so much on the rugby play as I do like in hockey. I can't tell you much about soccer though. Sorry, I hadn't ventured there yet. But when you lose a guy in hockey, it makes a big difference. But I hadn't seen a big difference when they
use it. Yeah, and another thing is there's only a certain amount of replacements.
Yeah.
Match. There's the your squad of 15. And then there are 5 or 7 replacements. I can't remember. But those are the ones they send them in periodically. They always announce when they're being sent in and who's coming out. But that's it. That's all they get.
That's all you wrote on that
one. Once you're out, you don't go back in.
Once you're out, you're out. Leave it all on the field. All right, so those are the practical things that will actually help you understand the game on your first night out at your hockey game. Here's some things that you might hear that you know, your fans might be here or saying, or, you know, somebody you meet in Ireland who's been watching the game forever. These are their phrases that they yell. So if you hear somebody say, I'm interested, if you hear somebody say clever scrum half play, what do you think that actually means?
Clever scrum half play. Okay, well, I'm going to use some context clues here.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be right about this, but the scrum half is the number nine of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of driving the game, mm-hmm. the strategy, and
yep.
Knowing what to do. Antoine DuPont
mm-hmm.
is a scrum half. And so clever scrum half play, like good job.
No, so clever scrum half play. So like if Antoine DuPont's on your team,
okay.
I'm going to say, and he's not on my team, I'm going to say clever scrum half play, which sounds nice. But what I really mean is oh, that crafty little beep.
Right.
Okay, so this is the one that also made me laugh.
Okay.
So we're playing on the pitch. Your team is set up for defense, and I say the dark arts of the front row.
The dark arts of the front row.
That one means, so I would say that about your team, and what it really means is they're all cheats, and we know it. All of them.
Wow.
That's okay, amazing. This one really made me laugh. So your team kicks it, and I say average kick, which really means has seen better kicking in a wheelchair basketball game.
Love it.
Oh my gosh. And this one too. I'll end it with this one. So I would say to you, as everyone starts to fight, I would say no one wants to see this sort of behavior. But what that really means is this is literally why we're all here.
Yes, I was about to say, but yes, we do want to.
Those are some fun things that I'll be listening for when we go to the game to see if anybody is saying those things, and then I'll know what they really mean when they say them. So that'll be fun to listen for. Now, like we said at the beginning of the pod, we do get to award somebody for our drawing this week. So the drawing is two tickets to the Sabercats Free Jacks game this weekend, which is also Heroes Weekend. So if you have served our country, you guys will be honored this weekend, and we'd be excited to see you there. But so these two tickets, to win them, we needed you to go like our podcast. So go do that anyway. If you hadn't, go like our podcast, leave a review. You know, we're aiming for a billion listeners. So Joe Rogan, watch out. Yes. Here we come. So we need you to like our podcast. And then another was to take a picture of you watching rugby this weekend. So we did have somebody do that. So share with us who won the tickets this weekend to go see the Sabercats and Free Jacks.
Allie Zewis is our giveaway winner. She has encouraged us not only last week with our giveaway, but since we launched the podcast. She's a rugby fan and has been listening, has followed us on social media, and she sent me a picture of her and her sweet little boy watching some rugby over the weekend. So, Allie, thank you so much, and we hope that you enjoy.
Thank you, Allie. Yes, so we'll get you your tickets and your thigh seats, two thigh seats for the game this weekend, and we'll be excited to see you there. So, be sure to listen to our helpful hints for making your first rugby game more enjoyable this weekend. All right, so MLR play, our Sabercats had a bye week, so we don't have anything to report on that. But they do take on the 2023 champions, the Shield champions. Yeah. Was it the Shield? So we play them this weekend. Now, while the Sabercats are undefeated, we are a point behind another team.
I was going to say Seahawks.
Yep. Seattle Seawolves are 1 point ahead of us. So whatever. We'll talk about that at another podcast because that's math.
You know what, though? I saw, I was trying to look it up and can't remember where I saw it, but every week they have like the predictions of the percentages of who's going to win. And the Sabercats are not picked to win. So now I know they're going to be up for the challenge. We're going to be yelling all the things about the dark arts and all of it. So
let us come have.
So I'm ready to, this will be a great match, I think.
And I'm ready to be back. I'm ready to be back on at the stadium, see our friends, and enjoy a great game. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to number 5. We're looking forward to number 6. And we've got some exciting stuff coming up for the podcast with interviews and whatnot. So we're excited to, once we get that worked out, let everybody know. So thank you guys so much for listening. And watch you some rugby this weekend.
And send us some questions about maybe we might not know the answer, but we'll research and figure it out for you. So if you have any questions, send those our way. If there's a guest that you think that we could have on our podcast, I mean, you know,
we can always ask.
We're good askers.
Some of us are.
We are really good. All right. Well, enjoy the weekend and thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, What the Ruck listeners, thanks so much for joining us today. Check us out on our website at ruckthewhat.com. You can also follow us on our Instagram at the Rugby Mullet and our Facebook page at What the Ruck. See you next time.